My name's Lionel Chetwin, and I wrote the script, and I'm one of the executive producers of Ike Countdown to D-Day.
Tom Selleck, and I played Ike.
Robert Harmon, the director.
Oh, I have to tell you guys, I did, as you know, Robert, all my own inserts, and the steadiness of hand is due to a decade of beer pours prior to 1980 in commercials.
An extraordinary fact, Tom, I was going to say.
Thank you.
I mean,
it's unfortunate there aren't awards for inserts.
Every one of them is you.
Everyone, yeah.
Every
I
hand,
did them all.
Every, yes.
I think people act in inserts, and they're important.
I think what's extraordinary in the way the scene is mounted, and this was always the question, you have probably 2 minutes to give an audience a comfort zone with what you're doing.
Yeah.
In the sense of, this is Eisenhower, and you must buy him now, within this first short period, or you have lost them for the film. And the way it is shot and the presence of Mr. Selleck is extraordinary. And we, you know, this film has now got quite a bit of a distinguished career behind it, and we've had no problem with anyone not being totally engrossed with this Eisenhower within the first minute.
Robert, you did a lot of camera things early, creating curiosity, didn't you?
Well, yes, although in this case, I think this choice of the way to begin the movie was a lot about you in this part, in which obviously there were people, you know, you're sitting right here, but you know very well there were people thinking, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, what were they thinking?
Well, exactly.
They were looking for the mustache to begin with.
There was one afternoon in the planning, I remember thinking, well, let me keep Tom in shadow for a while. And I thought, you know, that's exactly backwards. We should have the biggest close-up I can maintain, and just drop you right in everybody's lap, almost as a challenge.
But it is so close, you don't see the whole picture, and also the hearing Churchill's voice, which is indelible, before you see him, I think, sucked an audience. And that, and the fact that Lionel and you wrote and you directed a scene that didn't start at a 1 on a scale of 10, we were already up to about a 7 or an 8 emotionally.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it was very well conceived because it fragmented it. The original script had conceived a close-up of Ike that would kind of hold there. And this action was just, it was remarkable. But no one ever, and it's not easy. It's Tom Selleck, after all.
In the anniversary version, we can put the stuff you took out, Robert.
Yes.
No, the scene is well-paced, and I'm very proud of this scene. Because it had to do just what you said, Lionel.
Well, it did. And you know what's interesting? If you did that, there wouldn't be a lot to put in, because most of what was shot actually got to the screen.
That's true.
Wasn't Ian good?
It was wonderful.
I was going to say, wonderful New Zealand actor. I'm based in New Zealand, but...
As hard as it is to play Eisenhower in terms of him being famous, Churchill is so indelible. I don't know what I'd do. First of all, I'd never do it. But what Ian did is remarkable, because that's a tough one.
Well, he's so theatrical as a man. He's almost a self caricature himself.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reviews pointed that out. That here they said he was more real in this than he was in life, where he was more of a cartoon, which is kind of a tribute to, and also the choice by the choice to put him in a in the polka dot bow tie is an opportunity to pay a lot of tribute to the support people we had, particularly costuming and
This was the dark side of Ike, I think, where he knew full well, you know, the fact that many considered him untried and inexperienced. And he had also made a lot of mistakes in North Africa and Italy. Don't you agree, Lionel?
Well, he had.
And he'd learned.
But he had clearly learned, and as he makes reference later, what he learned at Anzio was instrumental in confronting one of the great decisions about where to drop the airborne. I think it was something that people didn't appreciate about Eisenhower was he was incredibly flexible. And he grew exponentially day by day, which is not easy when you're in your 50s.
Yeah.
As I expect we'll all discover when we reach our 50s.
But I couldn't...
Look at this.
I couldn't feel more supported by what Robert did and what he got. You know, we had so little time to communicate except over the phone until I got to New Zealand, what, 3 days before we were to start?
That's true. And I don't know, it was a leap somewhat. After our first phone call, I remember, it was fairly long, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought, this feels really good. it really did. There was something about your manner on a phone that really won me over.
Yeah.
Never any doubt in my mind.
Bruce did a great job.
This is interesting. He says, I dare say. That's the test when you're watching with an audience, whether or not they would laugh at that, whether they got it, that they were permitted to laugh, whether they understood that we were operating at several levels.
At the screenings, I laughed particularly loud to make sure
they
knew it was okay to laugh at some things
in
the movie. But I did a phony laugh so people wouldn't know it was me.
Ah, that's it, because all around me they're saying, isn't that sound like laughing?
Is the consensus of the Allies. I see.
Politics. Bruce did an extraordinary job, he really did, of capturing Montgomery's behavioral idiosyncrasy without losing credibility as a soldier, and a good soldier.
There's more than one way to skin this cat.
It was, for me, one of the most happiest experiences making the movie, was discovering all these actors from the New Zealand and Australia area that I didn't know, who I would just love to work with again.
They all seemed to rise to the occasion. I mean, nobody was completely reverent on the set, but they all felt they were doing something important and something good, I think.
I think that's true.
There are two kinds of problem drinkers, Chief Whip.
I had a number of critics ask me where I found this line. Of course, of course, I didn't. It's the second time I've used it in a film, actually, but it's a wonderful line, and it's extremely brilliantly delivered and very funny.
More gallows humor, courtesy of Lionel Chetwynd.
Well, but it's God. I mean, he just doesn't garble it. And with the tap on the hat, it's wonderful.
This is what I couldn't. I mean, Robert was running around with a still camera all the time. I didn't know what he was doing. I'm saying, God, what? How does he do that? He has time for a hobby. But he was taking these pictures.
It was something that evolved during the making of the movie out of desperation. Not to get into a lot of production issues, but I missed making a day that had an establishing exterior of one of those buildings. And I loved the buildings. I used to be an architectural photographer. I wanted to be an architect. I just really wanted that material in the movie. And our schedule left us no alternative but to do it in stills, and it became a motif and extended, as you'll see, into other areas.
But what's interesting about that building is the similarity of both this and later Southwark to the actual buildings in England.
Yes.
It was remarkable. What's interesting about this scene to me, James Remar, who's a wonderful actor, you get a kind of an insight into who our generals were. We described them at the time to one another, if you recall, as blue-collar people.
Yeah, I don't know whether that was a plan, Robert, but all the generals, the American generals you get to know, are actors who have, more often than not, including me, played blue-collar characters. And I think that said something about America in a subtle way.
It created a terrific contrast to the Brits.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, and that was clear also, you know, I mean, they were sculpted that way as characters. Here's the movable scene, created to ensure...
great piece of lint, by the way.
Much discretion about where this scene should go, but it's clearly in the right place. Monty was not deeply loved by his troops when he took command of the British forces in North Africa. He cut off the beer, which did not make him popular in a desert.
Yeah.
The lint is a good example of what sometimes the nature of my job is unavoidably ridiculous. Yeah. When presented with 10 or 12 lint choices, to have to make that big decision is...
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say back to the first scene was that was my third day's work, and I was a little nervous. I hope you learned to use everything you got, so I hope it worked for him.
It did.
This is about my fifth day's work or something like that. I think it was first week, wasn't it, Rob?
I think so, yes.
And by now you're getting testy, and it's a good, you're using that too. No, you never got testy. That was what was amazing. By the way, just a moment to comment upon the uniforms. I so much prefer the uniforms our soldiers wore then. They seem to wear something more colorful now, with many more ribbons and decorations and badges and pins. There's something about the simplicity that is very becoming.
I think that World War II uniform is so American in spirit. It isn't at all flashy. I think it's very Americanish, as Aaron Copland once said.
As they stand there together, too, you can see the inspiration for Eisenhower. The Eisenhower jacket came from the British battle dress blouse.
Yeah.
Once we have established beachhead,
the colors were they fun or difficult because of all the similarity of drab uniforms?
Right? Fun, and luckily fit right into the palette I wanted to use anyway, so there was no conflict there.
Now, let me outline
a lot of...
Oh, this was the added line you gave me that I could, just before we started,
yes,
that I couldn't remember.
Well, you did fine. It was,
thank you
was
for
so
fading out.
Because I didn't realize I was going to be pulling back, and there was not enough dialogue in the script to cover that shot.
Again, the curiosity. You create curiosity and then introduce him. The script does that. Robert, you did that. Who is this guy whose name we haven't heard yet is terrific.
This, of course, depicts an actual event.
15 minutes better spent on real work, Captain.
What was it? MacArthur had a staff of 150?
125, something like that. It was a huge staff.
An ICAD 1.
Yeah. This is Captain Chapman, named after Earl Chapman.
Kept pacing. He did a very good job. And this guy kept, I can't remember his name, but he kept practicing his American accent.
Yeah,
he just kept pacing, and I kept saying, it's really good, so relax.
Yes, he was uncomfortable. Well, very difficult for the Kiwis to do American accents.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite lines. He says he wasn't issued a human face.
Very
military.
Very funny when Tim did it.
Earl Chapman, this character is named after someone with whom I served, but was never a captain, but what a good salute, don't you think?
He did good.
He's got a good period face, too. Looks like, it always reminds me of Gregory Peck, this fellow.
There's me smoking again. A difficult thing to balance in a modern age, but, you know, I smoke 4 packs a day, and that was to somehow communicate it without overdoing it, because, as you know, actors love props, Robert.
Yes.
Like a child. Oh, you think of sending him home?
Let's have him.
Tom's hand. Once again.
That was my hand, and those are my hands on the type. No, that's a joke.
You gonna keep the helmet on, General?
Damn right.
Tim did a wonderful job, as did Gerald in the scene.
We all kind of fall silent here. This is just one of the more remarkable moments. This, of course, was an actual event that both sides had written about afterwards.
I read both accounts, and if you read Ike's account and Patton's account, they're very different, but I think both people felt they were telling the truth when they wrote it.
Which we managed to bridge at the end of the scene, you get both sides of it, I think.
Robert helped me a lot in this scene, both with camera and what he said.
I don't remember, Tom. I thought I was...
It was a mouthful, and it's, you know, to...
It wasn't until after after the coverage, when I realized how impossible it was to say, though you'd said it.
Yes.
Oh, a shell
slapping
shock
a shell shock soldier.
That was an
impossible
toughie.
Line.
But this, I felt, was Ike at his, you know, I thought he had to have moments of what I would describe internally as weakness. And, you know, Patton was his mentor. He was 6 years his senior, and I think Ike really resented having to dress down someone who basically he still considered his superior officer.
Yeah, but, you know, also, there's something else I think also going on, which I think is well revealed, and that is it was becoming clear, I think, to Eisenhower that with the draft and with the expansion of the Army, there were two different themes in our officer corps.
Yeah.
There was those generals who were aware, they were soldier generals, and then there were the brass hat generals, who had less concern. I think that's why this line.
And why slapping a shell-shocked soldier as a...
And I got it out.
And I had the same reaction exactly. It didn't even occur to me that it was difficult.
Until the coverage.
Way later.
Well, thanks for not bringing it up, because if you plant one of those seeds, over.
No. Yeah, right.
I just voted and see him. What the hell? He's an actor. He'll do it.
Yeah.
And he did.
That's an AP, an actor problem, as opposed to a WP.
General Marshall has left it to me to decide how to handle this, so I ask you again. Do you understand?
It was a good moment that Gerald had.
Excellent.
Yeah, where his eyes flicker.
He knows everything about Patton. Mac does. Yeah, and he's always wanted to play him, so he was thrilled to be there. Came in, what, the day before, Robert?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Well, I don't get all stuffy. I promise.
Now, we worked on the back end of the scene just before we did it, if you recall, the soldier-to-soldier business.
I thought it was real important. For those who don't know their history, that you needed to somehow get the sense of their relationship and their history. And Lionel accommodated, as did Robert.
And it was the key, actually, to breaking it was that expression, soldier-to-soldier.
Yeah.
Because it's a way for Ike to say, you know, there are two different kinds of soldiers. A great moment.
I wish it were that simple. You were my mentor. My senior officer who told me once a long time ago that one day I'd be giving him orders. Well, that day's come, George. And that's the truth. Soldier to soldier.
Well, I feel good. That shut us all up.
Well, no, it does. It does. It does. It does. In this moment.
Last time, Georgie.
Well, great. Well cut. Well shot.
That's the only time he called him Georgie.
Yeah.
That's a moment I have.
Which we wrestled with.
I like that moment of Gerald's looking like he's going to say something and then thinks better of it.
Yeah.
And that happened. Yeah, the helmet happened.
And it rolled across the floor, apparently, and Patton went scampering after it. Good salute, General.
Thank you. I had to work on that at the expense of doing push-ups in the real military.
Hand slightly angled in. Yeah, well.
Don't show the underside of your palm.
Oh, I love this moment. Dude, look how well staged it is. All three facing the camera.
Gentlemen. Played him like a violin.
Another laugh, which I'm grateful for.
Drive on.
How'd it go? I'm keeping him on. Probably thinks he put one over on me.
That always gets a huge laugh, didn't it? When they were
I love Robert helped me a lot. You know, this guy getting on with the next problem.
Yeah.
Robert helped me with, you know, to see Ike just switch gears was very informative, I think, for the audience.
Traff, what you got?
Early estimates of airborne losses.
Very interesting character, Lee Mallory.
Yeah.
Kind of a depressed guy.
Hero of the Battle of Britain, right?
Yes. Himself not a jumper, interestingly enough, but commanded that because of his role within the airborne, but not a just kind of a cheerless guy.
What's the split between wounded and dead?
Well, with paratroopers, one might as well assume they're all dead. A wounded jumper is a cripple. And we all know this enemy.
Great delivery there.
Yeah. Avid non-smoker who would leave the room every chance he got in between takes.
I bumped into him in the airport on our way to Sydney. He was a vegan. Well, here we are.
This speaks for itself. This is just beautiful, Robert. Yeah.
This is probably my most frightening day of the shoot.
Well, you had like a half day, didn't you?
No, it was not even that, but... Yeah. That we're going into a lot of production details. The variables in a simple scene like this were so enormous.
I thought there
was a very good chance we would arrive there with all our gear and all our crew and get nothing.
Well, the local radio station was also having a huge party on the beach that night. Well, this is the same beach they shot the piano.
Unseasonably cold, wasn't it, for that poor actor?
All of these guys were just shivering and freezing, and it all worked out. The dog was great, I got to say. The dog was wonderful.
Everything's great, and I don't know what you did, but... Because I can't tell where CGI came in reality.
Yeah,
there's
a bit of it in there, yes.
Well, this is Eric Rhea Raymark, the Mr. Communion of Soldiers. Ike wakes without being with him.
Yeah.
As if he knows.
Real dog tags. The costume and prop support in this movie was incredible.
Amazing.
Well, you know, we had, I think for a movie of its scale, we really did have an extremely good amount of prep.
Yeah.
And good people. So yeah. You know, it came together that way.
It was also, they dressed the sets 360 degrees, even if you weren't using them.
Yeah.
You could go into a corner where nothing was ever going to be shot, but it would be perfect. I mean,
that dispatch really read what it was supposed to read, for instance.
Well, all the dispatches were written. Yeah. All of your messages, wrote every one of them. Wrote the editorials, wrote everything. In fact, except, of course, Ike's, the close of Act 5, Ike's letter to Amy, that's his words. And they're very
And moving. The hardest prop in the entire movie to get was that West Point ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had to make affidavits and everything. Huh?
Yeah, and they want it back.
Spotting boats as soon as they come close enough to fire torpedoes. But at night, under radar.
This whole event is being rediscovered. When we first...
The event of the attack
and the sand,
yeah.
It had never really been talked about very much. And, in fact, the script dates from about 1996 or 1997. And it was amazing when at that time, how few people knew of that event. Now, there was recently, I think, Koppel did a thing on it.
How many? Nobody really knows the amount of soldiers lost.
800-ish.
I had 894.
My gosh.
Give or take. No, I it was.
Which is more than were lost on most of the beaches.
Yeah.
Yes.
During the invasion.
It was a battalion, virtually. You know, as you know, a battalion's about 1,000 men, and they lost virtually a battalion.
Stagg was terrific.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Great face. The Ike's shoot the messenger character.
You guys played so beautifully off each other. Right? It was just
Generals can do that. Yeah. I mean, and the flaws are very important to show in a character this great. And you know, he wasn't always as fair as he could be. And we worked diligently to find some sort of small, minute reconciliation for the audience and for Ike. I think he needed to say to the kid, you know, I've been a little hard on you, without saying anything.
The Germans have moved a full signal battalion to Dieppe.
Another mouthful, in this case for James.
Well,
but a very artful
Maidenhead
mouthful.
And Norwich. Is it Norwich or Norwich?
I can't imagine anyone else could be.
Well, hell, if Hitler had half his wits about him, he'd be on Monty's tail night and day.
And I love that. Every time I see the Ike smile, I like that.
You wrestled with that, though, didn't you, in the editing room, to have the right tone?
Yes.
Which I think is perfect now.
He believes Patton's fictitious army is real. He's not really watching Normandy. For now, at least.
Precisely, for now. But Rommel's no fool. Sooner or later, he'll figure out there's a limit to the size of our force, send reconnaissance flights to inspect Patton's army, and discover...
I have to put in a good word for David Gribble, our cameraman, because I'm a great believer in the fact that if you get... Among the many elements.
Yeah, he did great.
You must have the light right, or it's not believable.
Right.
It's just not believable. I think, to a point, I mean, obviously the actors have a lot to do with believability, but if they're lit up, I personally find it much harder to...
I do, too. There's a live quality to that doesn't make you want to suspend disbelief, which is what movies are about. You need some sort of buffer in between them, and that has everything to do with, I think, camera and lighting. Robert, do you think so?
I do, because we went to great pains to stage things near windows and keep it as natural as possible.
It keeps it natural, and it requires you to peer just a little bit at what you're looking at, which is good in a period film. You have to peer into it. You're almost through a glass darkly.
Mm-hmm.
And then
coming up is my favorite shot in the whole film, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that.
Well, you see...
Gee, you never shared that line.
Well, because...
what is it?
It's coming. Robert, it will be evident.
You took a little color out in the final color correction?
Yes.
Yes, desaturated?
Yes, it's just the chroma is reduced by something like 30 or 40%.
Expecting a fine English summer, sir. I mean, meteorology's a fair bit of witchcraft.
It was fun writing with a Scottish brogue. There's a fair bit of witchcraft. Here it comes. Look at this.
Give us more time to pulverize the rail
lines. Look at this.
And the railheads in France.
The men are becoming very impatient.
Dulls their itch.
And sooner or later, we won't be able to hide the size of our force in the south.
I mean, that's great. That's getting inside his head. And it's a wonderful, wonderful moment.
With a failsafe last chance in July.
Mid
July.
Often forgotten. It was going to be July 16th. They didn't go in June. It was July 16th. The next time the tide and moon were in alignment.
I have to say, Robert, that I don't think the public knows this, but countless scenes with 10 to 12 people around a table are as difficult to shoot as it gets. You know, it's shooting one perpetual eating scene at dinner.
It certainly can be time consuming.
Oh, hell. No, it is. It's a very wordy script.
The script's great, but the execution of it
execution
is so hard.
It depends entirely, Sorry. But it does. It depends entirely on...
This was my first day.
This was everybody's first day.
I barely get the cigarette pack out of my uniform and get a button back up without shaking.
Right. This right here is the
first
shot.
Scene.
First shot.
The butler coming out. What was going through my head at the time was, we have three boxes of these cigars.
Yes.
And likely they'll all be smoked. Who will liberate them at the end? Tom.
Didn't you?
Well, I'm sorry, Tom.
I never got a Churchill.
I have two left.
A Cuban Churchill.
A Cuban Churchill, yeah. They were fine cigars.
And I understand.
There were five left, I think.
Sorry.
That the additional time will increase the number of these newfangled landing craft.
You're so comfortable in your skin there.
Well, that's easy for you to say. It was my first day, and open your mouth the first time as a new character, even one who isn't historical, it always is a little shocking.
Yeah, I imagine it was.
There's a little guy on your shoulder saying, "What are you doing, you idiot? Don't you wish you sold insurance?"
Well, and it's interesting. No, and it's really interesting watching it. But there is a moment. It's your last moment. The last two words in this scene, where it just. Everything just locked in.
Yes, sir.
That was something we
arrived at on the set.
Yeah.
Because there was more of a kind of punch to the end of it, and we all decided it was too complex. And
well, the original line was, just a judicious use. No, and I forget what it was, but it was that, it was the rising inflection that hung us into the next scene, I thought, so wonderfully.
Great wardrobe work. I insisted on wardrobing in L.A. because I needed that comfort zone because I knew I'd have so little preparation.
Yeah, you know why the wardrobe looks so great, though, also? Because you kept wearing it. You wore it to the rehearsals and you wore it around.
I wore it in the heat.
Well, by the time you came on the set, it was an interesting costume note. You see, we've had a season change. We've left Christmas and we're in the spring, and so the dark chocolate-colored shirt has been replaced by a khaki shirt.
Yeah, which...
And that was a note
which
from costume,
missed.
Which
I love that chocolate shirt, but it's now summer.
It was a good catch by costume, you know? It was...
All of it. No civilian traffic whatsoever.
This must have been a tough one to present to Churchill. You know.
Yeah.
Everyone in Britain lives more than 150 miles from the sea. It is no accident that Britannia rules the waves and all that business. We are a people whose entire destiny is linked to the sea.
Which is why you must now turn your people away from it.
There was once a much more elaborate thing there about Britannia.
There was, but I think the point's made. Robert was very good at distilling that. Are you okay with it, Lionel?
If you remember, no, actually, with deference to Robert, I actually did the distilling.
Yes.
with deference. Obviously I was happy with it because in the end, look, this was a remarkable collaboration in terms of the way everyone... The way we all work together. And I don't think there's anything in this that any of us are unhappy with.
I love this film.
I don't know how many of these, but this is just absolutely the best, most wonderfully collaborative experience in which we were able to work through everything.
And this is terrific, and thank you, Robert, for giving us something to look at when we were looking at something. So many times in a movie you're pretending something's happening off screen.
Well, we started looking for this footage because this had been written in the original script, but particularly the dig, and I never knew how it would be put together. And this is one of your great, great achievements.
This was one of our costumers' great. She found a sweater with a zipper that was so Ike that she saw him wear once, and she created this thing and spent probably 3-4 days on it.
It's funny.
I was just going to say the sense that we had to communicate was Ike really let people get their hair down. He's very strong on military discipline, but not in these free time hours.
Yes. I was going to say, it's interesting to sit here with both of you, hearing your perspectives on various scenes. All I see and I watch this are all the shots I didn't get, which I still have in
well,
my head.
We don't discuss those in your presence, Robert. That's.
If you give me 5 minutes, sir, so I'll have tonight's feature ready.
What have you got?
And Monty never stopped lobbying, did he?
No, he didn't. A very interesting piece not too long ago in the Wall Street Journal by Paul Johnson, who's one of the great historians, discussing precisely this, Monty's desire for the dagger thrust. And some of the language in it was so reminiscent and evocative of our film, I wondered whether, in fact, he'd seen the film, because he was using a lot of expressions and so on. Well, there's a great story behind the painting, isn't there? Finding the painting. I actually had a different painting in mind.
It's great. Found this. Terrific painting. It evokes so much when you cut to it, Robert.
Yeah, the original painting was one I had stood in front of when I used to do duty at the officers' mess. Mm-hmm. It was Vive l'Empereur. And we could never find it, but they came up with these three other pictures. And what was amazing, the number of paintings of Napoleon retreating from Moscow. It was like the Lacey Peterson case of the period, I guess.
Boy, this was an early day where I was not comfortable with smoking. It wasn't second nature, and I was having a hell of a time getting that cigarette out and lit and talking.
Oh, it doesn't look that way to me.
Well, it's fine. I'm just worried. And that's the way he smoked. Yes. I saw a piece of film where he almost embraced his face. He smoked left-handed because he smoked so much, he had to salute with his right hand.
The relationship between Ike and Smith is very interesting. What is not widely known, many people talk about Ike's relationship with his driver, Kate Summersby, which is not referenced here because whatever relationship there was, when Eisenhower got the top job in December and moved to Bushy, moved his headquarters there, it was agreed that she would be transferred. So there would be no distraction, and she was not around from then. It wasn't until he had given the order and he said he asked that she drive him to the jumpers, the 101st. So her non-inclusion in this film was not was a matter of fidelity to history and actuality.
Isn't it ironic?
Interesting choice of words.
Yeah, isn't it ironic that his son John graduated on June 6th?
It's an interesting.
At this point, they don't have any idea that June 6th will be the day.
No. Right.
No, it's supposed to be June 4th, and then, of course, we see it moves to 5th, and finally to the last moment of the 6th. What a great sweater. So far, General, you
are giving one. Are we still in May here, though, aren't we?
Yeah, we're in May.
I mean, is it
no,
May?
No, we're in April. This is April.
No, but isn't the planned day May, and it gets...
No, he's already... No. That first meeting with Churchill, where it's a two-thing. One, I want to go in May, and... Now, this, of course, is an actual
Miller.
Event. Here is Miller.
Yeah, people ask me, did that really happen? I said, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it really happened.
But not for long, huh? Soon be down in the best French stuff.
And I look at this and think, oh, my gosh, this location changed about 5 times.
I bet it did. Well, it was a scene that had to travel when you could get to it, didn't it?
It actually happened in the Savoy Grill. Remember who you're... A piece of useless trivia. Originally, way back in the beginning, this had been a much larger piece, in fact, a miniseries, which also told the story of a platoon of 101st Airborne, and the officer of that platoon is supposedly the guy at the bar.
Yeah. Look at the hairdressing on the women and the haircuts. You know, these actors who have other jobs to do all got... military cuts, no cheating.
Right.
Well, because you wouldn't allow it.
Well, I was a little strict about it. I was General Eisenhower, and I would inspect the troops every day.
Every day, we probably drove Robert nuts, constantly sending people back for their haircut.
I love that. I don't know how you did that, Robert.
That's just
stuff.
Something in Auckland.
Movie magic, is it?
Yeah.
You paint this was one of my favorite Ike outfits. It just seemed, from pictures I'd seen, so much him.
He designed a lot of this stuff himself. That coat, I think, became the car coat, the shorty coat after the war. You remember, that was so popular?
A junior officer from the 101st was at the next table. He contacted his CEO.
I love what Tim did in this.
Me too.
As Beetle. And the concept of an aide and obviously a confidant who walked both lines at different times. Sometimes it was official, sometimes he needed a friend. What he can't help him with is the end of the scene, which is so nice, his moment.
Chances were bad enough without making it easier for the crowds.
And he's a damn sight better officer than Miller. And smarter. We had to loop this whole scene, redo the sound, and it's excellent. You can't tell.
Yes, well done.
Because of the rain noise and everything.
You know, the word stayed closed. No one really knows about it.
I do.
I went crazy day to day that everything be absolutely correct from a military point of view. The niceties of it, that was incredibly important to me for a whole bunch of complicated reasons.
At ease. He's either said at ease or as you were quite quickly.
I'm so sorry.
These are not reciprocal shots. You're not looking down at him for what it's worth. You're looking up at Ike, but straight at him.
Yeah.
Now, the film school technique would be you should really be looking down at Miller somewhat. Ike's POV, and you're not.
Really?
And this creates... Yeah, of course, you know that. No, well. But the result is just so extraordinarily... more moving. It draws you much more into the scene. It makes Miller more a part of the scene than an object of the scene.
Didn't this location change too, Robert?
It certainly did. Yes.
With the schedule?
Yes.
We had 19 days, by the way, and actually got it done in 20, which is a minor miracle.
You know, our art department under Ralph Davies did a great job with this place, but I still really, really miss the original location. So that would have been fantastic.
I saw a picture of it. It was really something.
I happen to like angles like this, mm-hmm. in which... characters have to look up, way up out of frame. It really, it makes it pitiful.
You have a lot of non-reciprocal angles, and it's a wonderful style, and it's quite distinctively yours.
Well, he was always
respect.
Grabbing stuff, too, with his second camera. Yeah. He's grabbing hands, and I caught you, Robert, a bunch of times.
See, didn't salute. I don't know.
I'm not sure it was appropriate. I don't know. It doesn't never bother me, Lionel, but thanks for telling me.
Nor I think it would bother anyone else.
No, I'm only kidding. It's
I do love this scene.
This moment here is brilliant.
This was no editing. I was starting to get a little nervous.
Yes.
A lot of... You know you got a long speech, but you don't want the audience to know you're about...
This is a single, and people should take note of this. There is no editing here. This is just a single. He just moves in on him.
And a great written speech. It isn't the big decisions that weigh heavy. Hell, you can decide to invade Russia at dinner. Pick Waterloo for battle on a whim. It's the details. The small stuff. It's easy to gamble a million lives. What's hard... is to see how that can hurt one single person. And if you can't keep that straight, well, you'll lose your humanity. Won't you?
Couldn't say, sir.
I always felt that was a moment where Ike was feeling... the burden and feeling weak and really needed help, and as in that job there is no help.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it also sums up where we are, and it now can launch off into a whole new... it's wonderful, wonderful moment.
This was a terrifically lit scene, but it was hot, Robert.
Sorry, Tom.
I wish you could have cooled the room a little more.
It's 75% real sun. Just a little augmentation from us, but it was not fun, I know.
There wasn't that much sun around at the time. By the way, you know, in that longer version, which I referred, this was the first scene in the movie. Look at that. Is that beautiful or what?
This is Ike's old bugaboo. You know, this... this doubt that people had and wrote about.
He's the man they call Supreme Commander.
Once again, it's something that people have asked for the reference on. There is no reference. That just is a summary of virtually all of the editorial comment at the time.
We're surrounded by some of the biggest heads in history.
Jim, getting involved and forgetting to talk.
Yeah, the movie just pulls you in. Look at that. No.
It does seem to do that. I'm so grateful to see audiences in theaters. A movie that is largely about process that you made, Robert, where people know the ending, that sucks people in like this. It's a real achievement you accomplished. One day.
I so believe this relationship here.
I do, too. Well, we'd had a lot of time, and Tim and I got along real well and hung out a lot, and... that was one of our little homages to why people shouldn't smoke nowadays, to say Beatle was trying to quit.
Yeah.
This scene is...
Now, this actually happened, of course.
It's so important in terms of the smoking and the humor the picture needed.
Yeah.
And it's such a big moment for an audience, as we've all seen it with an audience. Were you happy when you saw it, Ralph?
Well, very. And you may recall we had a couple of nervous weeks in which this location was going to disallow having any smoking for various, I forgot exactly what the details
it was
were.
It was a new law passed in New Zealand, and it had never been really, it was banned, and it had passed and no one understood. It would have been effective, you know, it had become effective 2 or 3 weeks before we came in, that you could not smoke anywhere on a school ground.
Right, this location was a boys' grammar school.
Right.
In fact, Sir Edmund Hillary's very...
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the trustees would not... they said, we can't break the law. And we went, in the end, to the minister of responsible...
Did you have to sign an affidavit?
I had to sign an affidavit. This actually happened, yeah. Notice, if you will, the Canadian flag. And you will soon see a shoulder patch from the Black Watch Royal Highland Regiment of Canada, which was my unit. It is sometimes forgotten that Canada raised an army of 1.1 million out of a country of 11 million.
Yeah.
And the 20% of the troops that landed on D-Day were Canadians, which was extraordinary for such a small country.
I love this moment. The audiences do, too. They need a laugh. You've got to find the comedy in tragedy and the tragedy in comedy. It's just... I don't know who said it. I think Cyril Cusack, but
I wonder how that would play with an English audience, you see.
And thanks for this moment, because I really needed a chance to show that this all isn't very easy. But he's a tough guy. He gets it together and goes up there. And I loved what you wrote here, Lyle. And there's two phases for me as an actor for this scene. You know, there's the prepared speech, and there's the unexpected question. I think the unexpected question, the prepared speech sets that up to find out who Ike really is, and Robert kind of helped me a lot.
Straight is tiring enough. So, I will leave much of today's business to my trusted and gifted colleague.
Right, another one of the ludicrousies of filmmaking. As I recall, Tom, for various reasons, I think the hall was essentially empty when you delivered this.
I believe it might have been. No, I'm kind of goofy that way. I did ask if some people could come in and you could remove the people in the crew who were watching me who weren't in uniform. Mm-hmm.
By the way, there were two Black Watch Royal Highland Regiment of Canada flashes right there.
I saw them.
You did? Thank you very much. A moment's homage.
Is there the sunburst from the California Army National Guard in this? No.
No, no
and
problem.
I wore on my sleeve.
There's Major Wyatt with his Canberra tank. And,
I loved what you did here. This is essential for an audience, but you turned exposition into emotion, Robert, and that the way you cut... Well, you should explain it.
Are
cutting
you
behind
about?
The... Yeah, the right. description of the invasion.
Because it was written just as a series of dissolves.
Yeah,
but Robert
you should explain what you did, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see is shortly there's a series of... It appears to be one shot. Of course, it's a series of shots of each of the primary characters giving them just a sentence or two about their part of the D-Day invasion. And I was just determined that they not be a series of dissolves. because I find that a little conventional. Yeah. So I came up with this idea right there, tracking behind these heads, and by very simple means, it's all done in the camera.
Yeah.
It appears to be one shot, but of course the characters magically change as we're behind each head. I feel it, you really can't see the cuts, but each one is a cut.
I didn't see that one.
You can't see it. Because they're the same heads, and the speeds were matched. And but I must say, it's another one of those examples.
And I got some time off, but I did not go take a nap. I was fascinated by what you were doing here.
While Fighter Command provides cover for the beach assault and strafes the Atlantic...
Another good actor, played Arthur Tedder.
Yes, Nick Blake.
Nick Blake.
...the rail links leading south from La Manche...
There's Ike drifting away.
He heard it all before.
...his southern defenses.
Well, your majesties, gentlemen, there it is.
Coming up after the question, every now and then you get an opportunity to raise the character's inner monologue, what actors call the inner their inner monologue. If you write it carefully, you can find a moment to raise the inner monologue to the actual text.
Yeah.
And this was the opportunity, and it gave me an opportunity to write a speech. And brilliantly, brilliantly delivered. Here we go. It
certainly was.
Well, it was the unprepared portion.
I remember my first trip to Europe.
One of the few public moments where he is speaking from the inside out as opposed to putting on an official face.
To touch the origins of my own country that I love so dearly. I hoped one day that all young Americans would have the same opportunity. Now hundreds of thousands will. Along with Britons and Canadians and European allies fighting to return home. This kind of visit isn't what I had in mind. But if they do not offer the sacrifice of blood now, we will all pay dearly with added gallons later. So if some must die, it is in a worthy cause.
I don't think Ike was really expecting that. And
no.
You know, that scene really moved me. If I had been with the production long enough, where you find as an actor, at least I do, if you get off your own case and don't push for something, when you're with this so much, it evokes an emotion. It was very hard. And yet you're playing a man who doesn't show emotion. So and many times during this movie, because of the script and your work, Robert, it just was very hard to not show the emotion it was generating in me, which made it easy, because that's what generals do.
Had to be that scene, the reference to gallons, and we don't, shed blood down, we'll pay the gallons later. The film, which premiered in the midst of the darkest moment of the Iraq War, that was the thing that the critics grabbed onto most and asked, is this an attempt to try and justify it? Iraq, it was not. It was a vital observation about the calculus that those people faced in dealing with Hitler.
Yeah. This is when the weather starts inserting itself.
As he had said, meteorology is a fair bit of witchcraft. Now, in writing, I often send my characters to the window on the page. It rarely actually happens that way, but here, in this film, usually they start a bit. But here, this is one place where Robert did permit him to go to the window.
As an actor, I found it very comforting to go to the window.
There would have been 40 of them if I'd had the scripts waiting.
Now, see, I don't think anybody noticed the insert of Monty's fist as an audience, but it's so punctuated.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. I think they feel it,
but in terms of, it's an emotional response on the audience. They'd have to run this over and over again to see how you achieved that, and the insert was critical. Again, the actor did the insert.
Yes.
Yeah, the ability of a director, like Robert, to carry the entire event in his head.
And this lonely shot, brilliant. You staying on it, I think, is so truth-telling.
A another sort of low angle foreground obstruction thing that I love. You just feel like you've got to look past stuff to get to the.
Yeah, it's this thing about peering into it. It
voyeuristic.
You feel that you're drawn back into that time and place.
And, you know, which actors love, you gave him the time before he spoke to wonder what he was reading and thinking about.
Landings are an assured success. This way, if it fails, I will be the first one to address the whole question of the invasion. You and the president will be blameless. I'm expendable. You two are not.
Shoulder the whole burden alone to the end, is it?
One conductor is what I ask for and what you've given me.
You make the manly choice. I admire it. All the same, between we two...
This somehow, this scene visually also opens up some.
The task that lies before you.
You know, it's kind of interesting.
It opens up toward the end.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, in the lighting and the whole sense of it, you get the feeling that... that the story is starting to open up, you know, that you're getting closer. It's very cleverly done. It's a very subtle point, but very well done, I thought.
God hasn't been much help with De Gaulle.
Oh, yeah, the reference is to God. We also got questioned a fair amount about that.
Well, they had a working relationship. This is a low point, isn't it? As depicted in the movie, and accurately, I think.
Yeah.
Jews aren't being rounded up. He's a horrid man. But... he guards French prerogatives jealously.
I mean, that's the interesting thing. They essentially, Churchill, in fact, had more or less invented De Gaulle. And that was a myth that continued after the war, the idea that they had really been allies. And it really came back to bite him.
Well, he needed someone who wasn't tarred with a Vichy brush.
Right, and who was probably not a communist.
And yes.
Now, here's a great story. I was very married to the idea of this particular piece, and so was Robert, and then we all were.
You mean this particular movie within the movie?
This movie within the movie. It really had to be Henry V, and it really needed to be Olivier, and people may not realize in general how expensive it can sometimes be when you really want something. By gosh, that was really expensive, but it was worth it because it, from the point of view of Americans, not necessarily that familiar with the classics as a living thing.
Yeah.
It is a shocking event.
Also, weren't both movies in color, Robert? And it just wouldn't have fit the palette?
I don't know that Henry was, although I think...
I was told in my interview session, but it's totally conceivable that they had a black and white 16mm print.
They used, in fact, that was correct, they used a 16mm.
But it's just better for the movie in terms of placing you, and the color would have been distracting.
Yes.
They used Metro color.
There would have been more color in that movie than in this one.
This was James' first day, and I was stunned at how there he was, how prepared he was, how up to speed he was immediately. I thought he was excellent in this scene.
Well, it's a wonderful scene.
You read Marshall's letter.
About the paratroopers?
Yes, I did.
What'd you make?
I think he's wrong. He says to drop the jumpers far behind the beaches, try to draw the Germans in two directions. If I were Rommel, I'd ignore them. Concentrate everything I had on the beaches.
I'd do the same. Every hour I delayed the invasion force from moving in.
Here you have some wonderful acting, taking expository dialogue and giving it meaning.
And Robert had this cross that we were desperately trying to time with the mistakes we made at Anzio. And I think you only probably had one piece of film where it timed out right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all these things look so simple.
This is a close drop. Carnage. How would a distant drop be better? If inland progress was slow, we'd have all those men wandering around France looking for something to eat.
There it is.
We'd be repeating the mistake we made in Anzio.
I just loved the ideas of the idea of these, of the generals standing around thinking, do we know what we're doing?
Yeah,
have we got this right?
Well, they're people, and that's what you can never lose sight of, you know. In creating these characters, they're people with fears and flaws, and they've just got a bigger burden.
For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he dead, so be.
I do love this moment, and we're shutting up again. We've shut up three or four times in this
But the looks you two are giving each other are really wonderful.
Yeah. Hope the main attraction's a bit more cheerful.
It's Rita Hayworth. It's a hell of a lot easier on the eyes than that bunch.
Rita Hayworth, Columbia's first Oscar-winning movie, actually.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite bits of filmmaking of Robert's. I mean, this is all Robert. I'm sorry, Lionel. It also has a very nice letter.
What letter?
But the visual interpretation of this piece so makes my job easy.
I'm sorry. That's my one virtue.
It so communicates the burdens of this thing.
Went back and forth. Originally, we were going to have Casablanca. But this turned out to be a better choice, don't you think?
The comedy is really good. Opposite Ike, who just can't quite get into it.
Yeah.
At last, the days grow longer. And I love the letter and what you did visually, Robert. What were you thinking? It's great.
I was thinking probably nothing more sophisticated than, this will be cool.
Yeah,
there you go.
It leaves me heartsick to think of sending so many young men against Hitler's Atlantic Wall. I admit to having developed a veneer of callousness.
Now, these are Ike's actual words.
Yeah, you were telling me. He wrote, 300 and some love letters to Mamie.
Yes, he did. And these are his words. This is wonderfully done. Look at this.
Youngsters already gone forever. Mothers. There are people who would have not allowed a Chivas Regal bottle, which is what he drank.
The eternal rightness of things. There is no true glory in war.
Very interesting Norman architecture. So English.
Yeah. There's Robert.
Or Stills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, did you take those? I know you took the people shots.
I actually took them all except that one of the White House.
Oh.
I
had somebody ask me, there's all these women in uniform. Is that supposed to be Kay Summersby? I said, no. She was sent away at this point.
She wasn't there. She came back only for the drive to...
That's another movie.
To 101st. Yes. Not ours. The trailer.
Where I loved to stay rather than in suites.
Yes.
Piece of exposition that was in the movie that we didn't have time for, but I loved. You know, he stayed in the trailer. He didn't stay in those big suites.
Bypassed Juno, Sword, and Gold. Sent them directly to Utah and Omaha.
It doesn't change my view.
That's what no one's ever talked about, is whether this was Rommel's version of Psy War. You know, the psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Moving these third-rate divisions, you know, the B-team around. Oh, I love that. I know.
I do, too. Yeah. You know, what did we shoot the trailer in about a half day? Every trailer in the movie?
Way less than that. We were in a big...
We just moved so fast.
We had to because...
It's so good.
Unfortunately, I had to get out to the beach that day.
That was the day we went to the beach, yeah.
Another vaguely interesting production point. All of these good skies you see back there, and in the next shot, those are also all shot by me with my digital camera from my hotel...
Balcony
in Auckland, yeah. This one. Mm-hmm. All the sky. I was busy shooting skies every weekend.
Well, it's the correct sky at this point. This was a day I was being General Eisenhower and looking at the extras and saying the MP's pistol belt is too loose. And
The question came up, what are these people doing at these tables? We had to explain, you're playing war games. You're saying, what if he does this? What if he does that? And their job was to have an answer for every eventuality.
The set was spectacular and
brilliant.
And lifelike, wasn't it?
Yes, very much so.
And this was a 360-degree set. There were corners that you were never going to shoot from, but yet they were dressed.
Yeah, of course, we're calling it a set, but it was a very heavily dressed location. There are no sets.
There are no sets. Huh?
Yeah.
It was a practical.
But the board is an exact replica, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That is the board.
I know the risks on both sides.
This is another shoot the messenger scene.
How many ways can I say it? I'm counting on...
But it tops of the line that got a laugh, so... takes the edge off Ike.
But that was before Rommel redeployed.
That's right. Be a misery.
Yeah.
For the minimum drop zones, it's a potential disaster.
He was a good fellow. I found myself sitting in the Auckland airport going to Sydney with him one weekend. And I was eating a hamburger, and he was absolutely appalled. He's a very serious vegan.
Yeah, who doesn't like smoking? Oh, and he put up with poor... Yeah, I'm sitting right next to him blowing smoke like crazy. This is a very good three-way scene, though. I kind of sitting in between these two guys who passionately believe they were right.
Some of them will make it. But they'll be far short of the numbers you need if seaborne landings are depending on airborne to distract you.
And two characters from very different backgrounds in reality, very different approaches to life and soldiering, which is brilliantly captured here.
On June 5th, otherwise the entire German army would let loose on my assault waves. My loss will be at least trapped 70%.
All right. Thank you. I've heard both sides.
I love it. That sullen look, you know. Bloody Yank. James, you Brit. You know, I mean, it was really great. One of the interesting things about Eisenhower was if you wanted to get shipped home in a hurry, all you had to do was be critical of anything that breached the international cooperation.
Yeah.
Bad remarks by Americans about Brits or vice versa, you were gone.
Yeah, he was dedicated to the concept of an Allied command, something that had never worked till now.
No.
They worked in name, but never in practice.
Yeah, it was. He made people work together. Great.
But he was a little hard on poor Stagg.
Not fast enough, Group Captain. I need hourly reports.
Yes, sir.
I like this moment here.
I do, too.
Whether Ike only talks about it.
And get him to say nicer things. Look, and we got a laugh at the screening, which was nice.
I'll send for you when I figure
very
it out.
Important.
Yes, what is it?
And this is Monty being Monty.
Our friends at HQ say the airborne decision is at a head.
I don't know when you shot this, Robert. I don't know when you had the time.
Oh, I don't know. Some afternoon, somewhere.
And what do you think, Wyatt?
Is that real light, or did you shoot it at night?
No, that's fake light during the day.
Yeah.
Let's see. Big light on a scissor lift.
Thank you, Wyatt.
Now we're down to June 3rd.
Not to be too self-congratulatory through all this, but this is one of my favorite scenes.
I love this scene. Shot in 20 minutes. I must say, in film, and it was certainly right for the time and created a sense of time, that filtering cigarette smoke is so dramatic and so interesting.
Supplies, naval support, De Gaulle.
Caused trouble, though, during the publicity, when we were trying to get out there. There are a number of television shows wouldn't take clips.
With smoking in it.
With smoking in it, yeah.
Which is a little silly, I think.
Well, the FDR memorial, they took the cigarette out of FDR's hand, yeah. And he was a chainsmoker. So. But it was silly, because cigarettes were currency to soldiers at all ranks, I guess.
Yeah. I watched him, and he's so subtle.
So good there, yeah.
He's so good in it. It's so little, and he had to...
That trailer was built, which is interesting. Yeah. Oh, this is a nice moment, right? Ike,
it's a terrific speech. I mean, written speech. I don't know about
that.
No,
it's a terrific speech, no, because it really does finally explain why he does it. And if this isn't made comprehensible, the scene with the jumpers at the end doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, you know, you're always talking about laying pipe.
Yeah.
And the way Robert has them kind of staring off and avoiding, you know, I think is brilliant. This scene has to work, or there will be no emotion in that last scene. And we know from audiences and from the critics and everyone that the last scene isn't very impactful. It's because of the pipe that's laid right here, right now.
A great Lee Mallory moment.
As painful as it is, those soldiers will have to bear the rough portion. General Bradley's assault troops must be given every edge we can find.
perfectly sound decision. We'll keep Jerry watching out for his backside. You get yours to those jumpers as soon as you can.
Count on it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Brad. Whenever the hell he wakes up, I'm seeing Churchill, and I know he's going to bring
What was interesting here, though, we didn't know it at the time. Correct, Robert? This was to be Bradley's goodbye to the film.
Correct.
We were figuring, you know...
There was one other scene that James pointed out rightly that he shouldn't be in.
He should be on the Battleship Augusta.
We rehearsed him with it.
Yeah. And then, but then it came up because he had no lines. Why does he have no lines? He had no lines. He shouldn't be there. It was so funny.
And he rightly felt this was a better wrap up of his character because it was correct.
He says,
I love the relationship in this.
Yeah.
The beaches will be firm. I know they will. You can trust me on this and not worry yourself about it further. Thank you, General.
He says general here. That's so important. And he salutes.
He salutes in a different way, and Ike doesn't salute back. I think it was more of
a flicking casual
relationship thing.
Ah,
here he is.
Here it comes. My favorite.
Now George was great.
Yeah.
And what did you say, Robert, about casting actors playing a French accent?
I had never tried to. My first experience with trying to cast a Frenchman who wasn't French, and discovered early on in auditioning a bunch of people that if the accent isn't right, unlike other accents that are just bad accents, a bad French accent somehow is comic.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have had their analysis of why that's true, whether it's the ghost of Inspector Clouseau or what it is, but...
George had basically 2 days, a couple weeks apart. I got to say... These actors, when you come on one day on a movie and don't have any time to make up for anything, and you come on at full speed like they do, you really have to have your craft together.
And he relied on no crutches. It was interesting in the audition how many people... That's another thing that most people who speak English have about 15 words of French. Oh, no, c'est impossible, I cannot do this. It was like watching bad auditions for the bad French waiter.
Yeah.
Come, General.
This is a great moment. And if I may say, what you say to each other at the map was actually scripted.
Yes, and it really made me mad. That's the character. Ike comes back from the map rather angry. There's a lot of finger pointing on from this to Gaul. And I think the audience got it.
Well, I think it's terrific that he's French, so it has a particular Marcel Marceau kind of quality. Yeah.
But it was what he was giving was, in fact, De Gaulle's alternative plan, which was a terrible idea.
It was a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Of course, I played Eisenhower, so...
Well, it was a horrible idea.
Ike's a little mad here.
I wrote it. I'm D-Day. There's still a man called Jesse Lasky who wrote the Ten Commandments, and I thought it was just a wonderful line. What have you done? Well, I wrote the Ten Commandments.
Monsieur Churchill, I think you're... Operation Overlord is...
This is so wonderfully exasperating for an audience who's chosen to be involved in this story. The whole De Gaulle thing is so...
But it is faithful and accurate, and it is not propaganda. This is what went on. If you don't believe us, read De Gaulle. Yeah. De Gaulle's own memoir.
Well, he never gave the speech I asked him to give, did he?
No, he never did. And his reply, my French is quite good, and I actually read in De Gaulle's memoir his own version of this, and he said I could not bear the implication of speaking after him.
Yeah.
Anyway, look at this. This is great.
Well, this is Robert.
This is Robert. I mean, this was.
Yes. But it is to be broadcast to the French people on the eve.
It's so beautifully done. He put this together over like a couple of days, the pieces of this.
What you do? There is no one else. So I shall give my own address when the time comes.
As of course you must, but it is our hope our urgent hope.
Well, when you have a place in which a building and a tree line up like they do in the next shot, it's absolutely irresistible.
So wonderful.
Yeah. A great old tree, too.
Okay, what's wrong with it?
Look at that.
Firstly, you urge Frenchmen to follow your orders. Only I will command the people of France.
You.
I was having, you know, it was one of those days where the words were starting not to make sense, and George was a huge help. You know, he just was there like a rock looking at me, and I don't know whether I was nervous or tired. It was only, what, that was the second day, wasn't it? I think, Robert, something like that.
No, it was deeper
second
in.
Second or third day.
It was deeper in, I think. You are so restrained. It's wonderful. Watch the face. You do something at the end of the scene that I think.
Well, I wasn't aware of it at the time.
More people have commented to me on what Tom does at the end of the scene. It's wonderfully put together. This scene.
I don't know where that came from, but because you said I think I have a way out of the scene, and
we are not German allies.
And somehow, I guess it just happened.
You're talking about the something, what I call something, something that approaches us almost. You're almost spitting.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's just so. Look,
well,
this is coming closer and closer and closer. It's just, this is one of the best directed scenes, along with the shooting up the table, of course, I've ever seen anywhere. That would imply. By the way, everyone should know that George is an Australian from Perth. Watch
a nice
this.
Man.
I understand.
Here it comes.
Allow me to see you to your car.
Go figure. Well,
look at that. And sorry.
And she went. Well, there was a scene after this that we didn't have time to shoot, and we had to come up with this idea of there was an exterior scene where Ike feels a raindrop.
Yeah.
And suddenly the idea evolved with Robert to shoot Stag soaking wet. Poor guy. And by now the audience knows the drill, and they know poor Stag's going to get it from Ike, which is a great color to add over, you know, the monumental decisions they're making, I think.
They rolled in from Baffin Island in unbelievably quick time. I've never seen it like
that. How long before they pass through?
All three.
And he knows he's going to get it, too.
Yeah. 5 days.
Might be some and he stood there soaking wet for about 5 hours, Robert. And that wool gets to stink a little bit after a while.
Yeah, originally it was going to be the trick match.
Yeah. Ike lights a cigarette and the raindrop puts the match out.
Yeah. But soaking him... This is interesting. One forgets how far ahead everything had to be done before the landing. These guys
well, it was a huge crossing. They weren't going over the shortest part of the channel.
No, and these things are already loaded.
Calculate the margins. This might work to our advantage. After all, if Miss Certain Jerry won't expect an invasion force...
A lot of the people in this movie, in these scenes, did not make it through the war.
No.
The goodwill in the world. We can't wait forever.
No.
Ramsey died in a plane crash, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Lee Mallory. Patton died in a car crash.
Disembarkation is delayed 24 hours to Tuesday. We meet at 0130 hours tomorrow morning to finalize.
Oh, poor Stag. I don't know when you were getting these shots, Robert, but I love this scene and what you set up. And the room, you used the whole room.
Yeah, we did.
Room.
Yeah.
That's at the very back wall.
This is the first time we had seen that costume on Muddy. God, they did a good job. The vanity of it was wonderful.
Yeah.
This is painful, this moment, Robert.
What?
The waiting.
Yeah.
You know.
This was
terrific. You get a sense of it.
Robert said, there's going to be a drip from the ceiling in a bucket. Can you pretend you're looking at that? I said, where?
Sir. There's a definite break almost immediately at hand.
What kind of break?
The score is excellent. We should talk about him.
We should
talk
about him.
The composer did a lovely job.
He did. That's Jeff Beal, and he We were very fortunate in a lot of ways, one of which was that we knew we had a very short post period, so Jeff was actually brought into the process while we were shooting.
Yeah.
You may remember, Tom, I actually played you some early temp tracks
this
very day when we were shooting this.
This day, and this driving music behind it really energizes the immediacy.
Well, chancy at best.
True, but we could press our entire force of fighter bombers into service. They'd operate well in these conditions, wouldn't they?
I know what Monty's going to say.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
He said, let's go. I'm not ready to give up on the sixth step. This is the moment of reconciliation, I think.
I don't think that irritated Ike at all. I think, as he said at one point, I like the enthusiasm, so I'll get a bit of that, you know?
That was my way of trying to reconcile with Stagg calling him son and showing Ike actually realized he was beating the kid up.
Now they must put to sea for the next half hour if overlords happen on the surge. And further, Ike, if you have Admiral Kirk set sail, then recall his fleet for worsening weather. He can't refuel and be ready in time for the 7th.
Too late after that.
Another scene with about 18 people in it.
Yeah.
Armor.
Any reason we shouldn't go on the 6th, Monty?
I would say go.
I would say go. That's Monty.
Well, bloody hell, let's get out of here.
Very chancy. I know. But the question is, how long can we hang this operation on the end of a limb and just let it dangle there? I'm quite positive the order must be given.
Always hard when you know the camera's coming in for a significant line.
Yes.
Not to put a big frame around it.
Now, that actually was what he said. That was his words.
Yeah.
I am quite certain the order must be given. And then he said he wanted another, you know.
I had a discussion with Wardrobe. She wasn't sure I should put on a regular issue GI sweater. And I thought, oh, no, that'd be very Ike.
Tank mechanics sweater, actually.
I love that shot. Makes you want to see what's going on. This is another trailer scene, isn't it, Robert?
The final one.
I originally he was sleeping fitfully, and my opinion was he wouldn't have slept at all. And you guys accommodated me.
This is the first one we shot, as I recall, the first trailer scene.
Yeah. We came in, discussed ideas, and tried to energize this beyond just a transition scene and give it an arc. I always like the fact that the alarm goes off and he doesn't even flinch.
It was a great idea.
Every time I watch this film, I want a cigarette.
Well, I do too, although I didn't really get hooked, but I got hooked on the behavior that it, because I'd seen so much of Ike and him smoking. And
that's funny. Every time I watch it, I want to command an army.
I like the outfits too, I must say.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes wore gaiters and sometimes he didn't with his uniform, and I chose to do it for the rest of the thing because I wanted to leave the audience with an impression that something was true about Ike. He was always leaving headquarters and visiting troops. And in muddy weather, you would wear those gaiters.
Yeah.
I command you.
And boots.
You see a nice sense of imminent battle as well.
Yeah.
One last go round, please.
Well, they're almost in the channel. The weather front is moving faster than the ships. By the time the LSTs reach landfall, sea should be calm.
I chose an implosion rather than an explosion with the last line, and Robert seemed to like it.
Very much.
Yeah.
From the first read around the table, I remember liking it.
Now.
Let's go.
Big transition here, Robert, and what you did was great. We should talk about it.
It comes to life.
Robert added so much here because we really shot the next dialogue scene right away, but there's obviously a passage of time.
All these inserts. Well, I mean, this is, the world comes to life. It's not a game anymore. This is an interesting. It's this next piece of dialogue, actually, that is an insight into Ike. It's a bit expository, but it's what makes him different than people like Patton.
I heard so many generals and people in command in the D-Day era talk about, in the, over this last D-Day celebration, 60th anniversary of D-Day, that same thing. It was the corporals and the privates. Yeah. They did it.
But they could only do it if they were thrown into battle correctly and properly. There is a burden of command.
Yeah.
But it was Ike's understanding of that at that time that I think...
And that he was thinking about them, not himself, which was very Ike.
Yeah. That was why he was a soldier general, and certainly why I admired him.
These were all reenactors, weren't they, Robert?
No,
mostly.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were just extras.
Yeah.
There was extras. Some of them were New Zealand forces that told... Colin brought
all of them worked diligently on their accents.
Yes. Yeah. Every word they speak is the extent of their American accented vocabulary.
Yeah.
You'll find that generals are not interested in the personal. So be prepared to answer questions such as...
Anyone who's ever stood a parade for a general knows exactly what he's talking about.
This is the guy who ad-libbed the... He ad-libbed the line about...
You got a light? Yeah.
I love this change, too. The task at hand. And that music cue. I don't know. Yeah. Very ethereal, Robert. Is that the right word?
I think it is.
Otherworldly.
This is where we had to fight for the extra day to get enough film to justify what was going to be the emotional
impact of this movie, which was enormous.
These point of views and all were very important. And that scene. And Ike, yes, did have a dent in his hat during this time. And I was trying to recreate it.
Well, it comes in the constant taking off and putting on, you know.
I just don't think he cared at that point, you know.
Well, I think a worn cap was something, a badge of honor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the 50 mission cap and so on.
Gather round. That's an order, jumpers.
It's a hard scene, only because it's hard not to think of the result on an audience as an actor. And Ike was so covering up what was obviously underneath. And I felt he had to be a good liar here and put on a very happy, positive face.
How about you? Where are you from, soldier?
Nolan, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Nebraska, sir. Go Cornhuskers.
That's the wrong team, Jim.
He never found someone from Abilene in all the soldiers he ever asked.
Hey, go get him, Jayhawk.
You bet, sir. Look out, Hitler. Here we come.
All ready, then.
That's the one Robert said got him.
What's that?
That line.
Mm-hmm. Well, baby, that line actually was one of the lines, according to his memoir. It's a crowd that have to be worried now.
Yes, I do, Lieutenant.
Thanks, sir.
Now, Tommy, you should share with the world what you said here that made them all laugh.
I was saying any stupid thing I could think of.
Oh, come on.
I was. We were just goofing around, and we knew sound wasn't being recorded, and I was trying to relax the guys because they're not actors, you know.
Our landings on the French coast have failed to gain us satisfaction.
It was this moment that I think impressed me most when I started with Eisenhower. At this moment, it was... Well, I won't get into the politics of it, but here was a guy, this is in 1996, 97, when we first started working on this script. This is the first thing he did, was say it was all his responsibility, and recorded it for history if it all goes wrong. Was an act of character.
Well, it certainly said who Ike was, you know.
And why he was the perfect avatar for that entire enterprise.
And this was terrific, you know.
Yep.
What Robert did. You know, originally there was a need felt for stock footage, and there isn't any in this movie, really.
No, in the end we got rid of all the stock. Now this is...
And I love this scene. It was easy to relate to.
Oh.
Sit back and listen to the letter.
Urgent. Sir, it is at times difficult to admit one is wrong.
but I have the great pleasure in doing so on this occasion. Casualties are dramatically below my estimates. I congratulate you on your command decision and apologize for adding to the Supreme Commander's worries. Lee Mowry.
Any numbers?
Early estimates.
The break in the voice. 20%. Very moving tone.
Well, that just happened. Both Tim and I were trying to do what military people would do, which is not cry.
Not cry.
But it was very moving for us. And this is one of Robert's wonderful contributions, the end of this movie.
20% is so much better than 7%.
This is so visual.
But the loss of even one of this gallant band is...
Of course, I contributed the lighter that you now see in close-up that says Eisenhower on it.
Yeah, that's right.
I had that made myself.
Person killed in...
It'll be available on eBay.
Or the one you love.
No, I'm joking.
And the odds are 100% in that case. They knew that, these great crusaders. But they went anyway. Too many of them are now with God. We may never see their like again. We may never see their like again.
Another speech where a reference was asked for, but... Great moment.
What was that, about 3 a.m, Robert?
Just about.
Yeah, where we had to make sure you had every piece of film you could have because we only had one set.
That's right.
It was the last shot of the shooting as well as the movie, and then everybody said, did you get everything you need? Because we're going to trash this place.
Spent about 2 hours trashing, is that right?
Yeah, I remember. I actually tried to take a nap, but I was a little too excited to. That was a 19-hour work day, I think.
Very long day.
But a good thing. Well worth it.
And everybody was very gracious in this movie that had to suck you in to waive some contractual things and put the credits at the end like a real movie, which I thought was nice.
Well, once you got into it, it would have been a terrible mistake to break it up, I think.
And all the people at the screening sat through these, which is a good sign. Great designer.
Great production design. And wonderful editing.
Yeah.
Great costume design.
There you go. We're all prejudiced, aren't we?
Yeah. And the music really is superb.
Who I got to meet at the last screening. Told him he did a terrific
job. Oh, you hadn't met
Jeff.
That's true. And that fellow, everyone wondered what the associate producer Tim Christensen did, who was the most marvelous post-production guy.
A collaborative medium.
On that note, I should thank you both, by the way, for one of my best filmmaking experiences, and I really appreciate both of your participation in this. It was just a great experience for me.
Me too, Robert.
And me too. This is Tom and Robin, one of the most extraordinary experiences ever for something I cared so much about. I went into it prepared to be disappointed and came out of it just elated. Yeah. I mean, just elated, and I'm grateful to you. It was just a wonderful time that we all had together.
Well, it better be good, because it's going to be around forever.